Okay, so let's go. Today's Friday, it's Yudzayin, Toiv Elul. It's Erev Chayelul, tomorrow Shabbos Chayelul. We'll do the Shaifa later. And we're gonna learn. But I think that before we learn, we should spend some time discussing Chayelul, and Belina, that Sunday I'm gonna do the same. Belina, but Hashem's help. We're going to spend some of the time learning and some of the time talking about Chayelul. And I figure that it's been enough years since the last time. So I'll push it, tell you stories about the Halakha Baal Shem Tov. Stories that are connected to the early years of the Baal Shem Tov's life in preparation for Chayelul. As I mentioned, Chayelul is the birthday of Shnei HaMe'eiros HaGedolim, of the two great luminaries, the Halakha Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe. It also is the anniversary, sort of the Alter Rebbe's parents. Alter Rebbe got married, his parents got married 24 or 25 months to the day before the Alter Rebbe was born. And there's a great significance to that, because the Alter Rebbe was a neshama chadash, he was a new neshama, and it says in Siches that a new neshama takes 24 months for Ibur. So in other words, it works out from the time Alter Rebbe's parents got married, Alter Rebbe was actually born, there was the Ibur of the Halakha, the Alter Rebbe's neshama, 24 months or 25 months. But in the year that the Alter Rebbe's parents got married, Tav Kuf Gimel, 1843, Chayelul was Shabbos. So as I told you recently, they got married on Matzah Shabbos, right after Shabbos, which is the basis for the tradition by Chassidim to make weddings, by the Rabbeim, I'm sorry, to make weddings on Friday afternoon. As I told you, the Baal Shem Tov was born also Chayelul, I believe it was a Wednesday, but I could be wrong, in Shnas Nachas, 1698. Tof Nun Ches, 5,458, which is Shnas Nachas, Nun Ches Tof, Shnas Nachas. So let me tell you some stories about the Halakha Baal Shem Tov's early years, Baal Shem Tov's birth. First of all, there's a letter from the Baal Shem Tov himself. Which he wrote to his brother-in-law, Rabbi Gershon Kitever. I hope I'm not making a mistake, but I may be making a mistake. In which he tells the story of himself, his own neshama. And he's telling this to his brother-in-law because he's asking his brother-in-law to join him. He needs his help for something. The story is brought, again, I could be wrong. It could be that it's a letter from somebody else to the Baal Shem Tov, but Baal Shem Tov. The story is printed, the story is true, but my recollection is the Baal Shem Tov himself tells the story, but I could be wrong about this detail. And the story goes like this, that about 400 years ago from today, in other words, at the time of the Baal Shem Tov was maybe 200 years before or something like that, in the time, it works out to be around the time of the Arizal, in the holy city of Tzfas there was a Yid. He was a Ishtam V'yashav Yirei Elokim. He was a sincere and whole person. He was a straight person. He was a servant of God Almighty. He was a tremendous Yiddish mind. He was very God fearing, very pious, and very simple. And he lived his life, I don't know what he did for a parnasa, and he was just very pious, simple, sincere person. He always made the point of being from the first people to enter the shul. He always made the point of being from the last people to live the shul, which is a tremendous schus, as they state in Svarim, that from the first 10 to arrive and from the last 10 to leave, it's a big schus. He was never in a rush when it came to Yiddishkeit, in other words. And he served Hashem. One day there's a knock on his door. So he asks, who's at the door? And he's told, Eliyahu HaNavi Zachar Latev. Eliyahu HaNavi is knocking on his door. So he opens the door. Eliyahu HaNavi enters the house. And the room fills with light. The whole room fills with light. And Eliyahu HaNavi tells him as follows. He says, in the Bez Din Shalmaila, you are making a very big, big tumult. You're making a very big noise. Because there is something that you did on the day of your Bar Mitzvah, which is extraordinary. You did something at your Bar Mitzvah which is very special. So much so that we don't know what it is. Only Kodesh Baruch Hu, only the Eibishter himself knows what it is. And the Bez Mishalmaila and the whole heavenly world over there is desperate to know what unbelievable thing you did that is so deep and so special that only Hashem knows. So they sent me to you with an offer, with a deal. If you will agree to reveal to the Bez Mishalmaila what you did in the day of your Bar Mitzvah, I will come to you and I will teach you the whole Torah and the secrets of the Torah and all the secrets of creation. And you will become a great tzaddik. He says, I'll teach you sichas, the kolam and sichas eifes, the language of the birds and the language of palm trees. I don't know what these things mean, but there are such concepts. So this Yid said to Eliyahu HaNavi, Zecher Latev, what I did in the day of my bar mitzvah, I did for the Eibishter alone. And I'm not going to reveal it. And if it means that as a result I will remain a simple man, that's fine. And Eliyahu HaNavi left. He came Lamaila, and this made even a bigger tumult. Imagine a Yid should turn down such an offer for Tzniyas. So the Beis Din Shamayla reconvened, and they discussed it a second time, and it was decided that Eliyahu HaNavi should come to him and give him what he offered without him having to disclose what he was asked. So Eliyahu HaNavi came and he taught him. And he became a big tzaddik. I mean, obviously, he didn't just teach him stuff. He injected new neurons into his brain. I mean, he made him into a new person to be mekabel so much teda and so much alakus. He became a big tzaddik. But he never changed his lifestyle. And he lived his whole life just as he had lived until that point, and nobody ever had the slightest inkling who this man had become. And he died. When he came to the Beis Din Shamayla, naturally there was an unbelievable outcry of joy and elation. Such a neshama. When the neshama, people pass away, the tzaddikim, there's a big simcha lamayla, and all the neshamas come from Gan Eden to Makabal Ponim. The Baal Shem Tov describes such a thing also in one of his letters. Everyone comes to Makabal Ponim, the new neshama. You know, today is the Levaya of Rabbi Meir Yitzchak. They hung signs on the wall. State, I don't want to give that. Rabbi Meir Yitzchak. I think it says 10:30. But Rabbi Meir Yitzchak tells a story. Rabbi Meir Yitzchak was raised by his grandfather because his father passed away when he was a little boy. I don't know how little, but he was a little boy. And one night he comes to his wife in a dream, and apparently it was very shortly after he had passed away. And his wife says to him, and he looks very besimchadik, he's wearing big day Shabbos. And his wife says to him, what are you so happy about? He says, I don't know, we're all happy. They're saying, as the Rebbe kommt. The Rebbe is coming. The Rebbe Rashab. It's tremendous simcha. And she says, what do you mean, the Rebbe kommt? The Rebbe is amongst the living. He says, no, over here they're saying the Rebbe is coming. This was Matzah Shabbos, Vayikra, Tafreshpe. 3 weeks later, they found out that she dreamt her husband exactly at the time of the Stalkus of the Rebbe's Masein. Then when the Rebbe Rasha passed away, he came to his wife and said, the Rebbe is joining us on this side. It's a story. But when tzaddikim pass away, all the neshamas come to Makabal Ponim. It's a big simcha. So when this Yid passed away, Zazang Neschusim, Tzeltam Maisim, Adem Zazang Neschusim. Even though before a person is buried, you leave the person alone, it's not about him, it's a story that he used to tell. In any case, so it was a big simcha. All the neshamas came to him, a kabbal upon him, this yid, a tzaddik, a nister, like this, such a secretive Jew. And he came to the Beis Din Shamayla, like everybody else, you have to pass through the heavenly court. And it was open and shut. There wasn't anybody or anything negative to say. And the malachim are singing his praises. It's like all the tefillahs that he created with his aishis of teir and tefillah. The malachim are coming in the millions to represent. We're the maisim tevim, we're the levushim, we're the garment of this person's good deeds and life and tzedakah and teir and so on. Suddenly a tiny little malachal creeps in under the door and he says, I protest, I object. He wasn't such a big tzaddik. And he says, how could it be that a man should be such a big tzaddik and know so much teda and so many secrets and not a single human being should benefit from his Yiddishkeit? How is that acceptable? Not one person ever benefits from him. Igon Arash. It became a tumult in the Beis Din Shamayla. Because he was a big tzaddik, But the taina was a taina. And the Bezin Shamayla Paskin that he has to come back into this world. But to send him down in a conventional way, that the Chazal say, Hakol Adrocha Mechazka Sakona, Neshama comes into this world, there's a lot of dangers involved. This is not just because he was a tzaddik. So he's going to come into this world not taka like anybody else comes into this world, in a very special situation. And his neshama will re-emerge on planet Earth to reveal a new derech and limud ha-Torah in Yiddishkeit, based on the principle of Ahavas Yisrael, which will prepare the world for the Melech HaMashiach. His neshama will come back down into this world, not in a normal way, but taka like a tzaddik. And he will reveal a new way of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, which will prepare the world for Melech HaMashiach. And this was the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov in the Gilgal before. This is a story which, again, either the Baal Shem Tov himself tells the story, or it's a story that was told to him by the other Baal Shem. Dach Tzachman, he tells the story himself in a letter to his brother-in-law, which is printed from the Gniza HaChesanis. This is the first story. And the second story is the Baal Shem Tov's father and mother, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanis Sara, they were tzaddikim, very holy and very poor, very poor, and nistarim. Nistarim, they were secret, nobody knew where they lived. And they lived in the city of Tlust. Ashatle, Tlust. Tes, Lamed, Vav, Samach, Tes, Tlust. Shanta was born. However, they were so poor they couldn't afford to build a home. So in those days, every single city was surrounded by a moat. Every city was surrounded by a moat. You know what a moat is? A trench that was deep and wide. And the purpose of this, of course, was, you have to remember, in those days there was no communication. It's like a Hab Nochten. Hab Nochtzel, okay. There was no communication. You couldn't telephone or wire. If a city was attacked by bandits, by pirates, they were to their own devices. Till they would send to bring back militia from someplace else, the story would be over. So they were very vulnerable. So they built a first line of defense. The first line of defense was that if pirates wanted to attack the town, they had to cross the moat. It was an advanced warning system. So they had a moat that surrounded the town, and a gangplank, a drawbridge, which would drop for certain hours a day for wagons to come and go and people to come and go. And it was a very good, this is how Ashetalach were built. I was in Moscow. Moscow has a street that's called Sushovsky Val, that's what it's called. It makes you nuts. It's like New York City's King's Highway. You have a regular city, it's built like a grid, and Sushovsky Val goes in a circle. So somebody explained to me, this used to be the old border of Moscow, and there used to be a trench. That's how they built old cities, with a trench, with a deep of moat. It was a protection system. So the city of Tlust had a moat. In Ukrainian or whatever language, the word for a moat is akupi, okup. Baal Shem Tov's parents couldn't afford a house. So like all the poor people, they lived in what they would call today shanty towns, shacks. Where they build these towns? In the moat. Because they already had walls. So they would climb down into these moats, and they put up little roofs of some sort, and that's how they lived. I mean, the poverty was unimaginable. And the Baal Shem Tov was born in such a moat. And that's why in some of the Baal Shem Tov's letters, he refers to himself as Yisrael Baal Shem Tov Me Okup. Baal Shem Tov was born in Tlust. But the Rebbe says in a Sichet that he would sometimes refer to Yisrael Baal Shem Tov from Okup, from Akupi, because he was born in a hole in the ground, Bepashtus. He was born in a moat. The Baal Shem Tov's parents were very old. Baal Shem Tov's father was 100, and Baal Shem Tov's mother was 90, like Avram and Sarah. This is a Rishima which the Fidiki Rebbe writes, that he copied from a chassid, an alter chassid from the Bravne, who copied it miksav yad kotchev from Alter Rebbe, from the original handwritten document of Alter Rebbe. The Baal Shem Tov's parents were 190 respectively when Baal Shem Tov was born. They never had children. The Rebbe in Sarah, the Baal Shem Tov's mother, could not have children. She was an akara. She was infertile. In spite of their poverty and their very, very, very compromised lodging arrangements, they were very, very big machnisi orchem. Shanta's parents were constantly inviting guests. So they had a house full of people who were poorer than they were, you understand? One Shabbos morning, a Yid comes to town. Now, in those days, you're talking now about the end of the 17th century, the 1600s, 1690s, there were two types of Jews. There were Jews and Mishumadim. There were apostates, people were converted to Christianity, and they were from a Yid. There was no such thing as a non-from Jew, it didn't exist. So a Yid who wasn't from was automatically labeled Goy, finished Goy. There was no in-between. It wasn't like now. They didn't have the sensibility. If a person wasn't from, it was a Goy, finished. And usually, if he wasn't from, it was a Mishumad, he converted. Shabbos, you're not allowed to go from one city to the next. Because there's a tchum, there's a border, you're not allowed to walk Shabbos. So a Yid comes to town on Shabbos morning, so before he even entered the town, he was already the Goy. The label that he was levied was with Goy. The Goy came to town. He comes into the shul, wherever he walks, people move away from him. Who wants to be next to a Goy? And the Baal Shem Tov's father, Rebbe Eliezer, sits down next to him, tells him Shalom Aleichem, he asks him his name, and they talk. And the more people are shunning him, the more Rebbe Eliezer is makar of him. When he's taking his army of beggars home to feed them his bread and water, which he had, he walks hand in hand with this so-called Goy. And the guests, who were such schnutters, they were such automalite, were hesitating. Maybe they shouldn't, they'd rather starve than eat in the house of somebody who's makar of a Goy. But they were hungry. And they're sitting in Shushki and they're talking, how could it be that there's a Goy? Makal Shabbos? He invites him to his house, he sits down next to him, he gives him kavod malach. And the more people disrespect him, the more he embraces him. This happens a whole Shabbos. And the brother was 100 years old, he was an old guy. I mean, even if he was well preserved, even if he looked healthy, but 100 is 100. After Shabbos, this man is leaving, and he says to Rabbi Yehuda, I want to tell you something. So they climb out of the hole in the ground, and he tells him, you should know that I'm Eliyahu HaNavi. And I was sent to test you. And the test was to see if you have Avas Yisrael or not. Because a new neshama has to be born, who's going to teach a new way of serving Hashem that's anchored in the teaching of Avas Yisrael. And you should know that you passed the test. So you will have a son. I don't know if he told him to name him Yisrael or not, but the fact is, when the Helik of Hashem Tov was born, like I said to you, his father was 100, his mother was 90, and they gave him a name Yisrael. So the Fidei Rebbe says in the Sichas, why did they give him a name Yisrael? Because they named him after Klal Yisrael. They named him after the Jewish people. Yisrael is the name of all Jewish people. Because at that time, as I'm going to explain to you later, Mitzvah, Yidden were in a Maimed Umatzev of his Alfos. They were in a condition of faint. And the Nisham of the Baal Shem Tov was the collective call to Klal Yisrael. They should wake up from their faint. Like it says in Svarim, when a person faints, you have two Eitzes. One Eitzes is smelling salt. Smelling salt strengthens, it shocks the body into rejuvenating itself. And another eight says to call a person's name. Why? Because when a person faints, it means that the neshama has departed from the body to some extent. When you call a person by his name, you're calling the neshama to reemerge and to come back into the goof. So the Baal Shem Tov's personality was calling Yidden from their selfos to wake them up from their faint. In any case, we will continue Mitzvah Shem on Sunday. I'll tell you some more. But derweile, let's go to the Sikh. No, the Alter Rebbe was a new neshama, not the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, I made a mistake. I misspoke. Not a new neshama, a special neshama. Mistake. Erase it. A special neshama has to come into this world that's going to teach a new derech and a Mitzvah Shem based on Avos Yisrael. You came late, no? Okay.